Folks, good to have you. Amen. If this is your first time with us, just make yourself at home. And you are in the midst of friends. If you have your Bible, turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. The Apostle Paul addresses the church at Corinth, and here's what he says. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Father, bless your word now. In thy name I pray, amen. So what I'm going to do tonight is give you a prayer request in the form of a message. And kind of wrestled around, wasn't sure what God wanted me to do tonight, but I'm settled on this for certain. I need your prayer when it comes to this kind of love. This is heavy-duty stuff. Amen. It really is. You can fly across it with words, but truth is, the apostle used some of the most drastic comparisons that you can use. Give your body to be burned and have not love. Then he says that you're, in verse number one, you're just simply making a racket. You're making a noise. We get a lot of that. And if you empty your bank account, give everything you've got away, and it profiteth you nothing. This is the grace of God that does this. This is first fruit of the Spirit. And I want you to pray for me, because I don't want to get up in this pulpit and come across as a religious hired professional, as a hireling. And you get a lot of that. There's plenty of that around. No question about it. You can't treat people like they're just a number. You know, somebody to fill up a pew, somebody to brag about. They're human beings. They're people. And every one of you tonight, you have a soul, and you are a spirit being. If you're not born again, your spirit is the same spirit as the world. But if you are born again, your spirit's born again, your soul's saved. That's exactly right. You never save the spirit, and the soul is never born again. But you save the soul. And the spirit is born again. And so one of the ways to tell that is that, how many's ever heard of Watchman Nee? Chinaman. And he was locked up for his faith in China. And I had got a hold of a lot of his books when I first got saved, read a lot of his work. One book, for example, Sit, Walk, Stand. The other one, A Spiritual Christian, and so forth. And he had a lot of good things to say, but when he gets into the soul and spirit, he had some very interesting words. And when it came to the soul, Watchman Nee said this: the soul is essentially intellect, emotion, and will. And these are the three things that define the soul. And that defines the soul, whether it be a saved soul or a lost soul. Because the soul, keep in mind, is the bridge between the born-again spirit and your intellect, communication to the world. But it's also the bridge of the unsaved spirit to the world. And it is, as Brother Nee says, and I fully agree with him, it is the most shallow of all of what you are. Because you can be worked up emotionally, and you can think that you're on the right track. You can get mad, emotions are with all of us, and get all stirred up, and don't know if that's ever happened to you, but it happens to me. And then you wonder what's going on. But then you come back down to who you really are. And that's the defining moment. And it may get in a place of quietness. It may take a little time. But you will come back to who you really are. Well, that's the spirit. Because the spirit doesn't get all worked up like that. And like the soul. Soul can be so easily and quickly. So bottom line is that so much of what goes on in the church houses today, ministers to the soul and not to the spirit. It's based on the idea that we can get you to feel good, move your emotions, then everything's going to be okay. You'll never grow like that. You do not grow from your emotions. You do not grow from that. I'm not against emotion. I like to shout as much as the next man. But you do not grow from emotions. You're going to have to grow through the Spirit. And that's as the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, works with your spirit. That's on a much higher level. And you know, I've gone into detail about fellowship with God, 1 John chapter number 1. And it's very important to understand this is what God wants for us. But that fellowship there in 1 John chapter number 1 is not fellowship of the soul. That's fellowship of the Spirit. That's a spiritual thing. So pray for me, and I'm serious when I say this, because I come short when it comes to this kind of love. It's not that I hate people, but you need the grace of God to be able to love like this. But you'll know it. Now turn to the Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 22. Studying the Bible and studying people and being conscious of myself kind of gives you a perspective. The scripture says in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit, notice the singular, fruit, not fruits. The Holy Ghost will manifest all of these different things. Only one Holy Spirit. He may not manifest them all at one time, but they are going to be present. Be awful careful of someone who says that there that God's given them a particular type of spirit and that in spite of all the rest. No, we all have the same Holy Spirit. This is how we relate in fellowship with each other. There's only one Holy Ghost. He's not a Baptist Holy Spirit. He's not a Methodist Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of the living God. And he did not come as he is today until Christ was glorified. And when he was glorified, he was sent like an apostle, apostello. He was a sent one, like the waters of Siloam. He was sent with a commission, but with power. And the power that was bought at Calvary and the power that was bought with a sinless life, the Holy Spirit ministers to us from the right hand of the Father through the Son. And the Lord Jesus Christ sends the Holy Spirit down to us. Now, if you're born again, if you're truly born of the Spirit of God, I don't have to tell you that the Holy Spirit's in you. He came in you. And that should have been a profound thing. Yes, it is. Should be. And it's not something that you're just going to forget and say, well, maybe I made a mistake, you know, and this and that and this. And your friends, a lot of your friends are going to say, well, he'll last 6 months. You know, they're looking for a year. He may make it a year, he or she. But that with me, it was 1973. That was 53 years ago. Yeah, 1973. I've been born again since 53. And the Holy Spirit is there inside me. But pray for me that the fruit of the Spirit would be manifest in my life, because this is what we're talking about tonight. This is what's important. Cut what he said. The fruit of the Spirit, the first thing mentioned, is love. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts thereof. It's a remarkable thing that you fight. There's a war that goes on. The war started in 1973 with me. Before that, there was no warfare. I was dead in sins and trespasses. That's it. I lived for the flesh. That's all it was. I didn't know anything. I didn't know anything. I didn't know God. I didn't know anything about the Lord. So there was no spiritual battle. But it's a sure thing. And one of the greatest things you can learn to grow in faith is that there now are two natures, two distinct natures in every one of us. There's the old man, and then there's the new man. And the new man can be renewed. All right, the new man. The new man is the body, soul, and spirit working together as serving the Lord. The only thing the body will ever be able to do is to be brought into subjection. That's it. It never becomes spiritual because it's incapable of it. The body is of the earth, goes back to the earth. But the soul, is going now to live for the Lord. Intellect, emotion, and will be directed towards serving God, love the Lord, read His Word, and know that that God has something much better for you than what you can do for yourself. You got to keep in mind the fruit of the Spirit. Let me tell you something. Before I got saved in 1973, I didn't have any of this. That was as much against me as possible. I didn't have any love. I had no joy, no peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. It was a dogfight. That's what my life was about. And I've told people before, when I came to Temple, I came here in 1976. Now, I got saved in 73. Now, imagine. I was an old hand, wasn't I? And let me explain something to you. I never really had a mentor, someone to take me. I found some men that I began to read after that I learned a lot from. But some of them had a bad spirit, and I had to just break away from that. But bottom line is, when I came to the church in 1976, I went to war. That's how I went into the ministry. I went to war. To me, it was warfare. And so it was reflected in my preaching. And I often wondered why people wouldn't stay long. They get up and they come here a time or two, and out the door they went. I thought, what's going on here? Don't you all want to go to war with me? But you see, I didn't know enough of the Bible to have a balanced life. I didn't know enough. I didn't know. It took years to learn that, because I was honest and real in what was being projected from the pulpit. It was no act. That's who I was. And so that's why I preached the way I did. But then I began to grow a little bit and matured a little bit. And it changes things when that happens. And I thank God for it. Because when that happened, I was able to get further into the Bible than ever could before. Before, I was always looking for a message to take hold of somebody and shake them real good, you know. That's kind of preaching. That's what I was looking for in the Bible. Then after a little while, I began to find out, you know, that book's a whole lot deeper than shaking somebody. There's a whole lot more in there than that. And there is. And I marvel how that here in 2026, almost 80 years old, he's showing me things. It's taken all these years for God to lay a foundation inside me where he can begin to teach me things. And I try to share them with you. I try to give across to you some of the things that he's showing me. I'm giving you stuff in here, folks, that I haven't read in anybody's book. When I tell you that God is a spirit and nobody knows the essence of a spirit, show me one commentary that says that. You know, there may be, but I didn't get it from a book. Got it from God. And then you begin to look at that and you say to yourself, hold on a minute. You are a spirit, right? Right? His angel appeared. This is his angel talking about Peter was locked up in the book of Acts. What does that mean? Well, the Bible says their angel doth behold the face of our Father which is in heaven. You ought to read the commentaries on that. What if you, a spirit being, can manifest yourself in another place at the same time? You suppose that's possible? We know God can. We know that God is everywhere, omnipresent at the same time. If I make my bed in hell, David said, thou art there. You don't know the essence of a spirit, therefore you do not know the capabilities, the function, the whole thing. This is why the Bible says that we're going to judge angels one day. An angel is not body, soul, and spirit. You are. You've been made in the image of God. Here you are. You're going to be elevated above the angels. Right now, you're a little lower than the angels. But the time is coming, you're going to be above the angels. And you'll be judging them. And of course, you know, you can read a lot of commentaries. What are you judging them for? What's the basis of the judgment? What's the context? When is this judgment taking place? What's the point of it? And you think about that. Spirit beings. This is why it's so important to understand what's happening today. The Bible said, for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they may believe a lie and be damned who love not the truth. You are living in an age of deception. But what about the deceiver being deceived? He so told you in the book of Isaiah, I create evil. book of First Kings, I think it was, who will be a lying spirit in the mouth of these prophets? Go. You see, we try to make everything so simplified, and it's not. There are a lot of things in the Bible aren't easy. You begin to understand, well, maybe there's a whole lot more to me than I ever thought. You better believe there is. A whole lot more. There's a whole lot more to you than an angel. A whole lot more. And the day will come when you'll find that out. And the Bible talks about a time when the spirits of just men made perfect. Perfected. That doesn't mean that they are cleansed of sin. It means that they are brought to the full potential of who He made us to be. I've said it before and I'll say it again and I'll move on. Nothing, no creature has ever laid eyes on the essence of that eternal being but the Son. There's only one that can take you to the Father, and that's the Son. Only one. And there's only one who can truly take you to the Son, and that's the Father. No man knows the Son but the Father. No man knows the Father but the Son. Amen. Amen. That's a remarkable thing. For one day God will reveal Himself to us. Buckle up. Get ready. So I think about what's happening today and all this stuff going on, all these UFOs coming at you, you know, and all this stuff. And they're talking about they're going to show more and more and more and more and more. And people, what's going to happen? I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. That being up there, that absolute, eternal, almighty being, knows exactly what He intends to do, and He's going to do exactly what He intends to do, and He will deceive the deceiver. Oh, yeah, when that time comes. So pray for me that the fruit of the Spirit, not me, but Christ, not me. Folks, I can't do a thing for your soul to save you. I can't do a thing to bring you closer to God. I can minister and pray that that does. But when it comes down to it, I'm just like you. Remember, I quoted Martin Luther you this past Sunday. Martin Luther was a German, and he translated the Bible from the Greek manuscripts into German before the 1611 King James. And you'd be amazed at how close that German translation is to the book you got in your hand, because he used the same source as the Bible, the majority text. Martin Luther did. That's a very smart man, folks. I mean, that's quite a job, don't you think, to translate the Bible into that language, German language. But here's what he said. He said, we are but beggars, and that's the truth. And I tend to agree with him. Martin Luther knew that if he ever had anything, it had to come from God. And he knew if it came from God, it had to be by grace. And so he cried out to the Lord. He was in bed one night, and Christ appeared at the end of the bed, an appearance, so-called, of Christ. I mean, you know this too, all right? He reached over there and took hold of his inkwell, and he threw it at that thing, and he said, get out of my room, you stinking devil. And here's this apparition, looks like Christ. That's Martin Luther. That's Martin Luther. Oh, yeah, yeah. Quite a man. Somebody said, well, what about the peons and the what will they call them out there in the field, and how he dealt with all them? Folks, he's not a perfect man. He had his problems. But still, Martin Luther was Martin Luther. And he said, we're beggars. And so the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And then over here in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, so pray for me, please. And this is for all of us. I hope you're following along and saying to yourself, well, you know, maybe this applies to me too. It does. The scripture says that we are all made able ministers of the New Testament. Did you know that? Remember I mentioned this past Sunday, there is no clergy and laity in that New Testament. You've got Nicolaitans over there in the book of Revelation who rule over people, Nikaios and Laos, and they rule over the Laos or the people. But God said, I don't like that. That's not of me. So, be careful with it. Be awful careful, because the Baptist, about as bad sometimes, the Catholics setting up a priest class. Yeah. You got to watch them. Yeah, you got to watch them. It can happen. But over here in 2 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse number 7. 2 Timothy 4:7. He said, I fought a good fight. There's the fight. I finished my course. That's God's purpose in his life. and I have kept the faith. So these are the three biggies that he says as he comes down to the end of his life and his ministry. Now, he fought the fight. He fought a good fight. He did. He fought a fight. And we are soldiers. Yes, we are. We are soldiers. Yes, we are. And boy, it can get tough, get rough. Yes, it can. We're soldiers. And put on the whole armor of God. Oh, yeah. Endure hardness as a good soldier, Jesus Christ. We're soldiers. You know, many of us in here are veterans. I was in there 4 years, but I was not a combat veteran. I fixed the vehicles that got blown all to pieces in Vietnam. That's what I did. I was in a fifth echelon repair. They'd come in there with bullet holes in them. Well, yeah, shot up. And it was our job to get them back together, put them back together, and get them back down on the field so they could use them. Sad, isn't it? Sad, real sad. That's war is a horrible, horrible thing. Yeah. Amen. But he said, I have finished my course. Well, I've taken hold of it, and here I am. And I am like Martin Luther again. The Diet of Worms, they called out for him to condemn him, and they called him to make a public appearance, and he stood before them. He said, I have to paraphrase him. I can't remember word for word what he said, but he said, here I am. He said, I'm not going to deviate from what I've taught you. I'm not going to deviate from what I've preached. I am what I am. I've said what I believe, and live or die, sink or swim, here I am. That's what Martin Luther said to them. And you know, back in those days, they used to take people out and burn them at the stake. Oh, yeah, that was the man. That's courage, folks. You have to respect courage. You really do. You have to respect it. So he said, I have finished my course. Well, I'll finish mine when God's done with me. It'll be his call, not mine. You know, he'll call the finish line. And he said, then I have kept the faith. When I was ordained into the gospel ministries, a little church down there next to the lake. I forget the name of the church now. It's been so long. I hate it that I forgot that. But the man that preached the charge to me, he got up in the pulpit and preached about, will you keep this book? Will you preach this book? Will you stand for the faith? Will you not deviate from the word of the living God? And I was as green could be, but I believed. Like I say, I went to war when I came to the church. I said, absolutely, I'll keep it. I'll keep what this book says. I'll preach it. And that was when I was ordained to the ministry. Well, here I am tonight. I have an absolute, pure, clean conscience when it comes to preaching this book, folks. I still believe Christ said more on hell than anybody, then he said more on hell than anybody. If that's what he said, then let's leave it alone, right? Amen. Amen. Leave it alone. He said it. And it's not that we should be able to understand everything there is to understand about hell. I'll leave that with God. But Christ is the one who said there is a hell. And that's good enough for me. I'll leave it alone. Salvation is by grace through faith, folks. Plus nothing, minus nothing. It's not a gift from the church. It's not a reward for a good life. No. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So that salvation is by grace, given freely. We don't earn it. God gives it to us by grace, and we accept it by faith. And that's, I still believe that, and I preach that. And for somebody ever accuse me of not preaching the gospel, then we're talking about a heretic on their part. Exactly. And I would confront them to their face with that. I preach the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15. The gospel. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and then he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. Not a word about water baptism in it. He said, I declare unto you the gospel wherein you stand. 1 Corinthians 15. You can read that in your Bible. That's what I preach. And I'll preach Christ and him crucified until the last breath leaves my body. I finish my course. It's not about me, folks. It's not about me. We've had people come to the church. They visited with us now for a few years. We have a lot of people visit. You know, we want to make them welcome. We have people here from all over the country. We have people that come in here from England and Australia and all over the world. All right. We have people that sit back there and they think, well, I bet Lawson thinks he's something, all these people. No, I don't. I'm glad that we have an online ministry because it helps people out there that don't have churches. I'm glad for that. But folks, it's not about me getting myself out. It's about uplifting and exalting Christ. And I hope that that's what comes across. With all of my soul, I hope that's what comes across. Because it's awful hard to mimic the Spirit. Your Spirit's going to come out. You may say all the right things, but your Spirit is going to manifest itself. And you know how you're going to be able to tell? Because you're a spirit. Remember what I said? How many spirits do we have in this house tonight? And watching, all right? What if you didn't have your body? Gets scary, doesn't it? Yeah. You're a spirit being. And we relate to each other on a level that is above, infinitely above a dog, a cat, or even an angel. We relate to each other in the spirit. And that's a wonderful thing. How many's ever listened to a preacher preach and you say, well, he's got to be a good man, I believe what he says. But there's just something about that just does not come across right. It bothers you, doesn't it? It's because of the Spirit. And so he said, I have kept the faith. And I pray that if I go before you, the Lord doesn't come back. I hope he comes back. I hope he comes back before I'm finished tonight. But if he doesn't, that's up to the Lord. If I could push a button, come on, we'd be gone. Zap. There's no button to push. But here's the thing. If I go before you, remember that. By the grace of God, he's been good to me. God's been better to me than I ever deserved. Oh boy, he called me out of darkness and he saved my soul. He counted me worthy, putting me in the ministry. That's what the apostle said. And he did put me in the ministry. Lord knows my wife did not marry a preacher. Poor thing. She did. She's been through it. She did not marry a preacher. She didn't even marry a Christian, for that matter. I'd been in the military for 2 years when I met her. Just came back from Okinawa. And I've been over there 15 months. And then met her. And I'm sure it's been quite a ride since then. But the thing is, I'll finish my course by the grace of God. If you'll pray for me. Now, you all have a course too, don't you? You've got a course to finish. Yeah, let's stick with it. Stick with it. Stay with it till it's over. Amen. Stay with it till it's finished. Because you're only going to pass one time. You're only going to be there one time. You're going to go through that final hour, whatever it is. You want to go through it right. You want to be ready. You want to be right. That's right. I go to the hospital and they go in there and they knock me out and they do these ablations on my heart. It's been a couple of years since they did the last one. Were you scared to death, preacher? No, I just had a nice nap. I went in there. And that's all. Wasn't a bit more worried about it at all. And I came out. Here I am, you know. But there are some who are scared to death. If that's you tonight, what's wrong? Should not be that way. You should not be scared to death of passing this world. No. The apostle said, I have a desire to be with Christ. Depart and be with Christ, which is what? That's right. Far better, far greater. And one of the reasons he said, I knew a man in Christ above what? Whether in the body, out of the body, cannot tell. Caught up into the third heaven, saw things. Do we believe that? Well, of course we do. If you're a Bible believer, you believe that. But it is a good illustration to go back to what I was telling you a few minutes ago. He didn't know if he was in the body or out of the body because he couldn't fully understand his being, what was going on with him. But he knew he was conscious. He knew he could see what was going on. He could think. He could experience it. But it was something beyond what he had ever experienced before. See? That's what it was. Then he came back into the body and lived out. The rest of his life. In the book of Revelation, the Apostle John, I think I mentioned this to you the other day, the Apostle John was not like Jeremiah or Isaiah when they looked into the future in prophecy. No. He went into the future. and he looked down on the earth. Saw it, all right? But then what did John do? He came back to the Isle of Patmos, and there John eventually left this world. So how did he do that? How did he leave here, go into the future, and then turn around and come back? How many believe he went into the future? Some of you are scared to death to answer. You don't know what to say, do you? You know what that's called, don't you? That's called time travel. That's time travel. I'm not really, I love Preacher Lawson, but Lord of mercy, look at him. He done gone off the deep end. Bless his heart. We need to call him in. And all right. Well, anyway, I've always been like that. I'll let the Bible speak for itself. I'll let the book speak. To me, it's kind of exciting. Oh, yeah. Yeah, because that opens up quite a few possibilities. Time travel is quite a thing. If you can go into the future, what about the other direction? Now it is getting quiet in here, isn't it? Amen. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, don't let me get off too out crazy. Keep me right. Keep me in the book. Keep me under your hand, under your wing. I love you, Lord. You know that. I love you with all of my soul. I give you my life tonight. It's in your hands. I'll never be any more than, by the grace of God, what you make me to be. Help me tonight. Give me the heart of a pastor. Give me wisdom in your word. Speak to my soul, Father, for what I need to understand, so I may bless others and preach to them and teach and glorify Christ and lift up his holy name. Father, I pray these people would pray for me. Those folks that may be watching right now, pray they'll pray for me. I covet the prayers of God's people with all of my soul. I want people praying. In your holy name, amen. Well, does anybody tonight want to...